Translation. Therefore, to enable people to reach the stage of activities that are not tinged by fruitive results, great saints first engage people in fruitive activities. For unless one begins by performing activities as recommended in the Shastras, one cannot reach the stage of liberation or activities that produce no reactions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Lord Krishna advises, Yagyatat karma no nyatra loko yang karma bandaraha. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Generally, everyone is attracted to hard labor for becoming happy in this material world, but although various activities are going on all over the world simply for the sake of happiness, unfortunately, only problems are being created from such fruitive activities. Therefore, it is advised that active persons engage in activities of Krishna consciousness, which are called yajna, because then they will gradually come to the platform of devotional service. Yajna means Lord Vishnu, the yajna purusha, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the enjoyer. And therefore, if we begin our activities for his satisfaction, we will gradually lose our taste for material activities. Suta Goswami declared to the great assembly of sages at Naimisharanya, Atak Pumbir Dviji Streshta Varshana Vigabhagashaha Svanu Tishtasya Dharmasya Samsidin Haritoshanam. O best amongst the twice born, it is included that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to the caste divisions and orders of life, is to please Lord Hari. According to Vedic principles, everyone must act according to his classification as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. Everyone should progress towards perfection by acting in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. Samsidim Haritoshanam. One cannot please Krishna by sitting idly. One must act according to the directions of the spiritual master for the sake of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then one will gradually come to the stage of pure devotional service. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.12, Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhava vivarjitam nashobhyate jnanam alam niranjanam. Knowledge of self-realization, even though freed from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of conception of the infallible God. Jnanis recommend that one adopt Naishkarma by not doing anything, but simply meditating and thinking of Brahman. But this is impossible unless one realizes Param Brahman, Krishna. If there is no Krishna consciousness, any kind of activity, be it philanthropic, political or social, simply causes karma bandhana, bondage to material work. As long as one is entangled in karma bandhana, one must accept different types of bodies that spoil the human form of facility. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, karma yoga is recommended. Chapter 6, verse 3. Arurukshu mane yogam karma karnamuchite yoga rudasya tasyaifa Samakarnamuchite. For one who is a neophyte in the yoga system, work is said to be the means. But for one who has already attained to yoga, cessation of all material activities is said to be the means. Nonetheless, Kamendriyani samyamya yaashte manasasmaram indriyartam vimudartma mityacharasa uchite. One who restrains the senses and organs of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. One should act for Krishna very seriously in order to become fully Krishna conscious, and should not sit down to imitate such great personalities as Haridas Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur condemned such imitation. He said, Dushtamana tumi kisera Vaishnava, prashtitare tari, nirjanera gare, tava harinama kevala kaitava. My dear mind, what kind of devotee are you? Simply for cheap adoration, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but this is all cheating. Recently in Mayapur, an African devotee wanted to imitate Haridas Thakur, but after 15 days, he became restless and went away. Do not suddenly try to imitate Haridas Thakur. Engage yourself in Krishna conscious activities, and gradually you will come to the stage of liberation. Muktir hivanyata rupam svarupena vavashtitaha. Therefore, to enable people to reach the stage of activities that are not tinged by fruitive results, great saints first engage people in fruitive activities, for unless one begins by performing activities as recommended in the Shastras, one cannot reach the stage of liberation or activities that produce no reactions. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinomani, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pachane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Teshitarne, Vanchi Kalpa Dubsta, Kripa Sindhavyavta, Potitamam Pamibhu, Vaishnavabhyo Namah. This was one of the things that really caught me when I first came to try to become Krishna conscious. I was saying, come to Krishna consciousness. But when I first started on the path, I liked this idea that the Vedas had something for everyone. When we have children coming here with school parties, many times we get reports, oh, that kid, Jason, was very good. Normally he's really bad, right? Normally he doesn't pay attention, but he was really into it. Right. We get a lot of reports like that. We even had one girl that was had a speech. I feel as if I've got a speech problem this morning. I've got such a bad throat. But she had a speech problem, and we had her pretending to be Sita. And, you know, we were doing a bit of role-playing, and she had to speak a little bit. And she had a one-to-one support, because people sometimes need special support. And that one-to-one support teacher came up to me afterwards and said, I've never heard her speak so much in such a short time. Right? You know, she had some motivation, right? You know, we know that speech, I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, people say, you're not speaking loud enough. It's when I'm not motivated, right? It's not a physical thing, it's a psychological thing. You know, when I want to say something, I'll say it, right? So there's a place for everyone. There's a motivation, you know, we're all motivated. I always say to the kids, you know, the first thing is anandamaya bayasat. Well, I don't say that. I said, life for having fun. But anandamaya bayasat, that's what it means, right? They're motivated straight away, right? They might come to a religious place and think, not motivated. How many of us have experienced that, right? Because the religion is sort of, you know, keeping us down, right? And so, motivation. And that's what the whole Vedas is about. It's about taking our motivation. We used to give that example in the early days. You know, if you get a liner, a big ship, you know, a huge big ship. We had one sink about a year ago, didn't we, in Italy or something? Massive boat, right? All right? So it's massive. It's huge, right? And if you try and stop that ship, and don't we do that when we're preaching? We go up to people and say, don't do that, don't do that. Do you know what we do? Do you know what our four regular principles are? You know? We try and stop people. But what's the result? You try and stop a liner? Crushed. It's got such momentum, such force. It takes miles for them to stop. If they put the anchors on, it's not when you know, you're in a car, you can put your anchors on, you might stop within about, you know, 50 yards or 100 yards if you're lucky. These take miles to stop. So if you get a little tugboat and you just say, stop, you're finished. Right? But what do? You get a little tugboat and you push it from the side. And gradually, it'll be coming in the opposite direction. And that's what material life is about. It's the opposite direction. Maya means we think we go this direction for happiness, we're going the wrong direction, right? You ever tried sort of, when you're looking in the mirror, you're trying to do something in the mirror sometimes, and, you know, you're trying to comb your hair from the back or something in the mirror, and you sort of go this way, but your hand goes the other way because you're looking in a mirror, right? So you kind of have to force yourself. When you go that way, it goes that way, right? It's quite difficult to get used to, right? So that's what we're doing in life, you know? We're going the wrong way all the time because this is a mirror. This world's a reflection. So that's the whole idea of the Vedas. It's mentioned, and it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada mentions it in the... Well, he doesn't mention it so much in the purport, actually. It's just in the text. I thought it was quite interesting. When I saw the text, I thought he was going to talk about it more in the purport, but there is definitely that principle that it's a grad, and it's coming up in a different way in the purport. It's a gradual process. It's a gradual process. And we all, at some point in our lives in Krishna consciousness, and I don't know about you, but you know, you read it somewhere, it's a gradual process of, I thought I could do it tomorrow. It's really, it's kind of like soothing, you know. And that's the problem. I know sometimes people say, oh, Indriesh, you're a perfectionist, you know, and I'm always trying to tell myself, no, I want it to be excellent, you know. I'm always telling my staff, I don't want to be a perfectionist, you know. I always say, if people say I'm a perfectionist, I always say, well, you know, I know I've got a problem there, I'm working on it, but I haven't quite got it right yet. Not quite. So, but we want excellence. Srila Prabhupada liked everything first class. So the problem is, of course, perfectionism is difficult. It leads to hopelessness. That's the problem. Many times we're trying to become a pure devotee. I almost made it. And then, then depression, I didn't make it. And that can really become anguish. I don't know if you experienced that. Because anguish in your hearts when we're trying to become a devotee and we end up beating ourselves up and I'm feeling I'm no good, I can't do it. So that idea of being gradual, little baby steps, it's always encouraging. I've done this, I haven't done this yet, what's my next step? That's always encouraging. I always give the students that example of when I first became vegetarian, you know, it was just cutting out red meat, you know. Some vegetarian fanatic had come along and said, you know, Ian, you're still eating fish, are you? What kind of vegetarian are you, right? So we experience also that with devotees. Sometimes we find a devotee is having some problems. We sort of say, what kind of devotee are you, right? Or we might feel it ourselves. So it's very simple. We need encouragement. We need to have that courage to go forward. It's very difficult. And that guy the other day, didn't he jump out of a balloon or something 36 miles up on the news? He went 36 miles up in a balloon and fell out of a balloon with a parachute, right? Doesn't that take great courage? Wow. Right, so it's a bit like that when we come to Krishna consciousness, like, woo, jump. You know, I mean, am I going to go splat? It's going to Krishna save me. And of course, that example sometimes given that if you're standing on top of a mountain, everything's below. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada's preaching, you know, no jnana, no karma, no yogis, this is nonsense, that's nonsense, all fools and rascals. So when you're on the top of a mountain, you can say, yeah, everything's below. But how does that feel when you're at the bottom of the mountain? When you're at the bottom of the mountain, completely different view. In fact, you just see a ridge and you think that's the top. And when you get to that ridge, you find there's another ridge and another ridge, right? You don't even know what's beyond, right? You're not able to look, even see the top, really. You've just got to, what's my next step? What's my next step? Very encouraging in life. What's my next step? Sometimes we try and be humble overnight. Oh, Prabhu, I'm just a fool, you know. You know, what's my problem? What's my problem? You know, what's my challenge? What's my knot that I need to get rid of next? Let's concentrate on that. Otherwise, it's all a smokescreen, you know. You know, oh, I'm so humble, you know, I'm full of faults, you know. Then I don't look at what I need to look at, right? So it's got to be that next step. And I think when we're preaching also, we need to understand what platform we're coming from. Where, are we standing at the top of the mountain? When do we need to give the absolute truth? And when do we need to encourage? When do we need to give that next step? When are we seeing it from the absolute? And when are we seeing it from their position? And that point came up after class a few days ago. Someone asked, you know, when we're preaching, how much do we give pastimes? How much do we give that, right? And I think that point was made, and you know, it's a dynamic process. There's no set answers for these things in one sense. There's a principle, but there's no set answers in any situation. Things are, yeah, it's like when you play football, you know, you see the other team's doing that strategy, you change strategy, right? After half time, they do another strategy, you might have to change it, right? So it's being alive, it's being aware, it's applying the right thing. So we have to know when to apply the absolute from the top of the mountain, when to give the thing that's going to encourage a person. What's their next step? What's the little thing they can... What's the thing that's going to get them to like Krishna consciousness? What's the thing they're going to agree with that they think, hey, these guys have got it. It might be something right down here. I mean, I told you years ago, I told you before, one guy who was really standoffish, but then when I told him that we throw away as much food in this country as we eat, he suddenly became inspired, right? It's a very simple moral thing, but it's connected to the Supreme, and it helped him, because after that, he was my friend, right? Because, he's into that. I must admit, when I'm studying Krishna consciousness, sometimes it's way up there. It's got nothing, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with me. Where is it? Where are you, Lord? Do you know me? Often we need something down here. So, of course, and I noticed actually, Srila Prabhupada doesn't get really, it's all about entanglement. Srila Prabhupada doesn't really seem to get entangled in what's in the verse. He goes straight to Krishna consciousness. He does that many times. He just goes straight to the Krishna consciousness. At the same time, the principle is still there in Krishna consciousness. We might miss out fruit of activity. We don't say to people, okay, if you want to be happy, right, just study the Vedas. And you can do that. You can say, okay, if you want to be happy, at least study the Vedas. And that gives that motivation. At least it accepts authority. That's the point. Better to do something wrong. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. You ever heard that one? Better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. So that's the whole point. If you want sense of gratitude, the devil. Sense of gratitude is the devil, right? But better you have it that's under regulation. It's a step up. But Srila Prabhupada doesn't stop. He doesn't. He just goes straight to Krishna consciousness. However, the principle still applies in Krishna consciousness that we have to be gradual as well. The principle's the same. Same principle. And of course, the point is that this whole world is imitation. That word imitation is, I think I mentioned this last time, it's the same root as the word imagine. Imitation, imagination, right? So imitation means we shouldn't imitate Haridas Thakur. We tend to imagine we're on a position higher than we are. The whole world's an imitation in the first place. It's just like, sometimes we say it's like a film. What you do with a film is you make the cinema black and then you project something into that blackness. So that's what Maya does. Maya puts us in ignorance, it's black. And then takes a projection of the spiritual world, projects it into this world. So that's what this world is. It's a projection into the darkness, into the ignorance. We can't see Krishna. We're all cut off from our relationship with Krishna. And then we have that false imitation world reflected in here, and it looks like the real thing. It's counterfeit, okay? You get just plain paper, you get an image. You can do it very good nowadays, can't you, with all the computers and things. It's so easy to counterfeit, right? Counterfeit things, right? You get a real good image of a 50-quid note, and then you put it on that blank paper. Looks like the real thing, and you need very smart people to spot it, right? And that's why we have to have that intelligence to spot. It's not the real thing. I love looking up words. Sometimes people say now we're living vicariously. Vicariously means we live through other people, like we live through EastEnders. Right? People now live through celebrities, right? The word's vicarious. And interestingly enough, it comes from the same root as vicar. When you go to church, you've got the vicar, right? Or in Ireland, you say father, right? So it means substitute. Whether it's a substitute for the Pope or it's a substitute for God, right? He's, like the guru. In one sense, he represents God, right? That's all right. That the use of the word vicar is all right. But the idea of vicariously means we're actually living. We're not living our own lives. We get pleasure out of celebrities and what they're doing. And everyone does it. Most people do it every night, don't they? Watching the box. Isn't that what it is? So at least we have to come back to this reality and live, at least you have to be indecent, Maya, thinking I'm this body. That's also vicarious. It's not really me. But we're so much in Maya that we don't even do that. We go out to someone else, right? It's quite amazing, right? A dream within a dream within a dream. It's a play. I sometimes wonder whether it's a comedy or a farce or a tragedy. Comedy or a tragedy, or it's like both. We can laugh at ourselves sometimes. It's good to laugh at ourselves. Laughter gives detachment. We laugh at ourselves. I was thinking the other day, here's me trying to storm the gates of heaven, right? What the hell am I trying to do? Am I going to become Krishna conscious? storming the gates of heaven. What can I do? So we can laugh at ourselves, you know. We can get very serious about things. And I said, well, come on, what can I do? Oh, what a web we weave when first we practice to deceive. That was Sir Walter Scott, wasn't it? Sir Walter Scott. Some people always quote it as Shakespeare, but it's Walter Scott. As soon as we make a lie, it gets complicated. That's why politics is such a mess, right? Because politics is about deception. Politics, generally. That's why kshatriyas have to have Brahmins, right? Because by nature, being a politician, you can't always be completely honest, right? Brahmin will tell the truth even to an enemy, Prabhupada says. Brahmin will tell the truth even to an enemy. I sometimes wonder whether that's naive, but, you know, that's what Prabhupada says. Let the truth, you know. Let what a reaction comes, you know. Difficult to do. Very difficult. So politics gets very complicated as soon as there's a lot. And we see the same thing goes on in emails about this person and gossip. Gossip's also very destructive because of that. Because it gets a web. Someone tells someone else and they make it slightly different. Someone then tells someone else and make it slightly different. And then you have to go to that person and explain what they said to that person. And you know, it gets some. You understand? You have to undo the whole thing. So that's karma. When we talk about karma to people, I think we need to explain it's a principle that acts in this world all the time. We see that if you're in quicksand, you go down faster, right? If you get in debt, you can get worse. If you get in addiction, it can go worse. People need examples that they can see in this world. It's a principle. It goes from the top to the bottom, right? And people understand that. Most people I speak to, actually, many of my generation are teachers. They know. They know things are wrong. They know it's getting complicated. Unfortunately, they can't quite put their finger on it, right? They know it. They see life's getting so complicated. We used to do this service without computers years ago, and we did it. We did it. We managed without computers. We used to live. I think I told you, I went to the Argos catalogue, 200 machines for curling your hair, girls, or making it straight, or curling it, whichever problem you got, right? You know, girls used to look beautiful for millions of years, right? Without them, right? The principle's there. Krishna's done his job, right? We think we have to have curlers and this and that. It's crazy. Crazy. And Prabhupada says it just makes more problems. So the whole civilization's based on that. To tell you the truth, it really gets me in my guts when I see the way people are just jumping on each other for being immoral. Like politicians, they're up here and then they're pulled down. And there's no mercy, right? There's no mercy at all. Of course, we should, you know, call a spade, as they say. We should point out things that are bad, but there's no mercy. And I was thinking, actually, it's all counterfeit, right? Everyone's false. Everyone's saying, you did that, but no one wants to be exposed themselves, right? Everyone's false. Everyone's saying, you know, you're counterfeit. You're not real. You're not doing the job right. You're not a good president, right? Everyone's jumping on each other. And actually, I was thinking that whether you take power falsely or you try and take power off people, both playing God. Krishna gives us power, like he gave Arjuna power, and then he took Arjuna's power away. So sometimes we want to take the power, and people are in positions, and then there's other people saying, I'm going to take the power off you. Both playing God. God does that. We only take the power when it's given to us. We only take the power off someone when the power to do that is given to us, right? So whether we're an underdog or the top dog, same business trying to imitate Krishna. You ever got your Brahman thread out? You ever got a new Brahman thread out and you pull it and it gets all tangled? You ever find that? Anyone have that when you get a Brahman thread? You know, it's all wrapped up and you just pull it like that. It gets really tangled, right? That's what karma's like. Complete. I've got downstairs in my office, I've got all these electrical leads I've had for years. It was a mass like this, right? And you have to sort of pull it out and pull that through there. And sometimes I get frustrated. Right? And it just tangles up tighter, right? That's what life's like, right? You try and solve a problem, you sort of go, let's sort it out quick, right? It just gets tighter, right? It takes great patience. Of course, Srila Prabhupada says devotional, that's the way he talks about devotional service. It's just cut. knowledge, cut through. Literally, you've got a tangle like that, you just cut, right? That's what Krishna consciousness is. It cuts through. You don't have to untangle it slowly. That's the solution. So the difficulty is once we see we've got a problem, we sometimes think that by backing off from that problem, we're going to solve it. Doesn't always work, does it? You ever, sometimes that fight or flight, you have an argument, I don't know if you do it, some argument's coming up, so I just walk out. I'm not going to deal with that. Does it solve the problem? It might solve it for a little while, and you might be able to meditate on how you're going to solve the problem, but if you maintain that sort of attitude, nope, not going to talk about that, nope, what you said didn't hurt me, no, you know. We pretend to be detached. Does it work? No, it doesn't. It just becomes very painful. I had a friend tell me yesterday that his son hasn't spoken to him for a few years or something. Just won't speak to him. And I said, wow, that must be a very, very painful place to be in. To be holding the anger and hatred. And not, you know, to live in the same place as your father and not speak to him. You see. So in the same way, there's a sort of similar psychology. The psychology is when we find out that karma's entangling, or we just experience it, and we get a gut feeling, we get it hard, then tendency is just to back off and not act. It's a natural thing. Arjuna wanted to do the same thing. Main teachings of Bhagavad Gita, in one sense, Arjuna, I don't want to fight. I want to go to become a yogi. Just meditate. That's not the solution. And this comes up in the third chapter, comes up in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita a lot. Arjuna says, I'm confused. First of all, you tell me that there's karma. Now you're asking me to fight. What the hell's going on? Right? Notice how Arjuna didn't just say, Krishna, I'm going to fight. Because loyalty is important, but loyalty without integrity is useless. Loyalty without integrity. Just being told to do what you say, you know, you're screaming inside because you don't want to do it, right? Just swallowing things, you know, not talking to your guru about things, right? Pretending, you tell me what to do, I want to look like a devotee, so I'll do it, right? No. Sometimes we have, integrity is also important. Arjuna said, Krishna, you're equivocal. You're saying one thing, now you're saying another thing. What's going on? Right? He had the honesty, not to challenge necessarily, but to challenge philosophically. What's the truth? That's needed. Because we have to sort out what's false, just like we have to sort out what's real money, what's counterfeit. Counterfeit means against, to make something against. Right? So we're making something against, we're making war with God, right? We're making this body, we're making something against God, interestingly. So that's the Arjuna's didala, and he put that to Krishna to solve. And Krishna very clearly says, different reasons. He says, of the two, they're the same, wise people. See them as the same in the beginning of the third chapter, but I've forgotten all my Sanskrit. I used to know all these verses years ago. I can't remember. I remember the principles, I think. He said that the soul must act. We have to carry on acting. He says, society won't go on if we all act, and people say that to us, what will happen if everyone becomes a Hare Krishna? Society won't go on. Do you get into an argument? No. You say, well, that's not what we believe. You've got it wrong. We don't believe that. So society must go on, the soul must act, and the other thing is, what purification is there by sitting down? Just like if you've got a problem and you just go and sit in the corner, what's the solution? You've had an argument, you sit in the corner, right? Maybe you can do a little thinking. Maybe you can connect with yourself and God and things like that. But then you have to come out the corner fighting. Just like in a boxing match, you go in the corner, you know, you've got a few bruises. You know, in life sometimes we get beaten up. We sometimes have to withdraw and say, oh boy, I really got it there, didn't I? And then we have to think about it and come out and have a strategy and come out fighting. Right? And that's what Arjuna had to do. Arjuna was covered by the mists of illusion. Sometimes when he was fighting, they'd send these illusory weapons, and he'd come out shining, right, through the darkness. Suddenly he'd come out, you know, after being completely covered. That's our job. So the idea is we must engage in activities. dukkham apnoti ayogatara, it says simply renunciation will just cause pain. Actually, if you study Hinduism from an intellectual point of view, I don't get into too much, but if you study it from an intellectual point of view, they say there's always this tension between the renunciates, you know, the Babajis and people like that, and the Brahmins, you know what I mean, enjoying family life. And you can see in the Bhagavatam as well, is Daksha and people like that, and the renunciates. There's no solution between that fight unless you come to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is very, very simple. If Krishna wants you to renounce, you renounce. If Krishna wants you to be married or this or that, wants things, you accept. That's the solution. Krishna consciousness rises above. It's very simple, actually. Very simple. It brings those two things together. So therefore, we have to act. Srila Prabhupada says here we should act. He's sort of combining both things. We must act according to our classification, according to the Vedic principles of Varnashram, but we must act to please Krishna. At the same time, we shouldn't imitate. And that means, you know, we say this a lot, we should never pretend we're on a higher level than we are. We should be sincere. Does anyone know what the word sincere comes from?
Sincera.
What? Sincera. Sincera means?
Latin.
Since Latin, yeah? It's actually... you're getting on the mark. Sin means without. Sine means without. Seri means wax. So in... Of course, Christians were really against the Romans because they had their deities, right? So they used to make these deities of, you know, Mercury and Hermes, you know, people like that. And the good wallahs, they were like murti wallahs, right? Used to do a real nice job, carve them really nicely. But the cheap ones, what they used to do is they used to do a rough job of the carving and they used to fill in any cracks with wax. You just imagine you've got a nice carving and it's got a few cratches and scratches. What you do is you get wax and you fill it in. And then it looks really nice, right? So what do? You know, we say, I haven't got anything wrong with me. You know, I'm pure devotee, you know what I mean? You know, everyone else is smiling, so I'm smiling, I've got no problems. And we fill in the wax. We cover up our faults. But what happens when you put it in, you know, that's such a nice deity that's got little imperfections full of wax. Put it in the fire, put it in the sun. It's all going to melt, right? So go into the fire of Krishna consciousness. Fire of Krishna consciousness means doing something. It doesn't mean sitting there. Because we sit there, we don't deal with our problems. I think most of us experience our preaching. When we go out, the external problem always reflects an internal problem. There's always a challenge on the inside. Right? That's why duty is so important. Soon as you put into your ashram, you change your ashram, there's certain external challenges, but they're reflected in the heart, the things we have to change. And with that fire of Krishna consciousness, if there's wax, it's just going to melt and we're going to be exposed. And Krishna always exposes us, right? Always exposes us. So our job, of course, is to, I guess you have to work on a little bit more to get rid of the imperfections. That might be a little bit painful. But that's the idea, that there cannot be pretense. We shouldn't just sit idly pretending we're a great devotee. There is need to go in the corner. I must admit, in my service, we don't have enough time for reading and reflection sometimes because we're so busy. There must be that time to reflect and to study. Most people say they come to Krishna consciousness and they don't get enough time to study. At the same time, what's the purpose of that study? That study is to go out and come out of our corner fighting to preach Krishna consciousness, because everybody knows that everything's counterfeit now, Dave. Everything's image. Nothing's about integrity, being who you are. There's very little values anymore. You will meet some schools. Actually, you do get schools where there's values. We shouldn't think that, you know, everyone's bad, but at least we need to be able to reach out to those people that still got values, those people that want to make a difference in the world. Take that, add Krishna to it, and try and get that message that people are not becoming happy by all these fruitive activities. And simply, you have to take your same activities and just dovetail and add Krishna. Very, very simple message, actually. Very, very simple message. And I think we should all just find my personal feelings. We should all find what we're good at. Someone said the other day, I think it was it you, John? You mentioned about sometimes when you're on Sankirtan, you start thinking you're the doer, right? And we start thinking good about ourselves or something.
Only sometimes.
What? Only sometimes. But but the point is, I would suggest that it's not, we shouldn't then feel bad about ourselves. One thing I think we can do is we can be grateful that God's given us what abilities we've got. Because the other thing is we've got to offer ourselves to Krishna. We can't offer an imitation. We have to offer ourselves. And that might mean who we are in this world for us. Wherever we are in this world, we have to offer that to Krishna. So I suggest that, you know, sometimes when we sort of feel, oh, I'm good at doing something, we could say, well, I'm not, I've got to be humble. Best thing I would suggest is to be grateful and receive that gift and use it. Because when we receive a gift, we feel grateful. And when we're grateful, we want to give something back. So if we're good at something, whatever we're good at, find out what we're good at. Be grateful for that. And that gratitude will mean we offer it back to Krishna. And then, and we're a whole person. We're a person that when people meet, they think, that's a whole person. That's a dynamic person. That's not a repressed person, because this no stuff, you know, no activity stuff. What does it do in education? The average child hears 20 no's for every yes. And what does it do? Is it any good for them? Does it give them confidence? Does it give them, you know, yeah, that confidence to go in the world and make a difference? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. There has to be plenty of yeses. Good, you're good at that. Encouragement. Yes, you've done that. Need to be cutting sometimes. We don't not see the faults. We get the, you know, get no wax, please, right? We point out the faults, but there must also be that encouragement to grow, to blossom. I went back to my old school, which was quite a nasty school. I went back, imagine 42 years ago, I left that school. It was a boarding school, and my wife had a request to do some preaching, so yes! Blows against the empire. So I went back, you know, and I was preaching, and it was fantastic, and the kids really loved it, you know. But it changed, and the teacher said, our motto, and I took it as genuine, our motto is to bring out the best in those kids. And the teacher said that, to see their potential. Can we not agree with that? Don't we all have potential? Aren't we all spirit souls, right? And I mentioned the head teacher later. I said, she's a really nice teacher. And the head teacher says, yes, she's very good, but she's got high standards. Right? What a combination. Very high standards, but at the same time, she's very, very encouraging. And that's Krishna consciousness. You know, we cut out the faults and we encourage everything. And we encourage people to go to the next step. So ultimately, we're encouraged to become. And by just following the process, we become Krishna conscious. There's something within it automatically that purifies. That's one thing about Krishna consciousness. Even if we're doing our service, sometimes, even if we're doing it wrongly, if there's impurity, sometimes we should stop. I'm sort of, as I get older, I'm pulling out of management because I'm not a very good manager. But other things, sometimes we have to carry on, even if it's imperfect. And we don't say to someone, oh, you're imperfect, therefore drag them from their position. Sometimes maybe. But many times we have to carry on with our imperfections, try and rectify them. Because if we carry on doing the service, sometimes automatically those imperfections will go. We can't just stop. Otherwise we'll just become a jnani and there's nothing to purify us. All right, questions, please.